Guard Your Heart is our theme at the moment. Guard Your Heart. And we need to do that in such a way to guard our heart, because everything flows from our hearts, what we think, how we process, how we do things, how we treat others. Our whole journey in life is so dependent on how our heart is going. Some of us can live in a very anxious and stressful environment, and a lot of that's to do with what's happening in our hearts. So today I want to talk about value and protect. To value and protect your heart, to value it and to protect it, and to come with an understanding of what Jesus is showing us, to value and protect what we have. So as I move now into this place of prayer, asking for God to show us how to value and protect our hearts. Lord Jesus, there's so much going on in our lives and in our world, and we can be so quickly disconnected from our feelings, our emotions, disconnected with the things that are taking place. We fall into traps, we fall into holes, we fall for things that are not right. And I pray this morning that we can start to really value what you've given to us, and value it at a greater level, and to recognize the things of this world are not so wonderful as to how you are for each one of us. And so, Lord, help us to value and protect what we have this morning. Speak through me, and may our hearts be ready to hear what you have to say. Amen. To value and protect, what do you value the most? That moment where a bushfire is racing towards your house, and you've got a moment to run into your house, what would you grab as the thing that you value the most? Mind you, your children are out of the house, your parents are out of the house. Nobody's in the house, just things. What do you run in to grab and say, well, if I had a moment to grab whatever it is in the house, what would you grab? Benjo?
A Bible.
Fantastic. What else would you grab? Jasper? Sorry? Your cat. All right, well, okay, animals as well. Cool, great. Sorry, so I heard someone else say?
Photos,
photo albums, right? Documents, important documents.
Passport,
so you can fly. Notice how all of a sudden, when you've only got moments to grab what you want, these are either very important papers or sentimental things. I said to you the other week, last week, about my father's box, and I thought I'd bring it this week. I said to you that when my father would get his pay packet and his money, once a week he would choose the best notes for the church, for tithes and offerings, the best ones. And this is the box that used to sit in our lounge room. Now, my mother and father have both passed away, and the question was from my brother and sister, what would you like to have from the family as something special? Two items, one for mum and one for dad. And the item that I wanted from my father was this box. Now, it's a nice box, but the memory that I have with this box is so important. I associate this with my father. And inside this box, I have a little pendant. And my mother used to wear this all the time. These are the two things that if I were to run into the house as memory, these are the two things that I would consider really important, and probably the photo albums. Right? We cherish these things. Why do we cherish them so much? Because they're our hearts, aren't they? They challenge us to carry the memories, what's important, how that goes. Jesus stood on a mountain and he declared a whole lot of things. We call it the Beatitudes. I actually like that. It's the be attitude, the attitude you should be in. And as he speaks these attitudes, to think about what's important. Now, I've only taken a few verses, not the whole three chapters, but the Beatitudes. I want you to think about them as we read them through, and then I'm going to pull them apart. Matthew 6:19, it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body. What you will wear, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See that the flowers of the field grow, they do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is Jesus speaking this out on the mountaintop. Jesus speaking it out to the crowd. And he's bringing good news as he's speaking it out. So how do we read these words now and guard our heart into this thinking of what he is actually saying? What attitude do we bring, if it's a beatitude, what attitude do we bring to our own life and journey as we read these words? Let's pull it apart a little bit. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. You know, all the materialism, all the things that we have around us. And you know how much stuff you have when you move house. Who's moved house recently? How much stuff do you have? And how much is necessary? And how many have had moths or vermin destroy them recently? But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Store up for yourself treasure in heaven. The treasure that we have here on earth starts, you know, what's that going to do? How's it going to help? But treasures in heaven, store them up for treasures in heaven. Store treasures that are going to be eternal. Things that you do for others, helping others to see the beauty and the majesty of who Jesus is. Storing these treasures up, your prayer life, this personal relationship between you and the Lord is a treasure between you and the Lord that's eternal. Because for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Where you put your energy and effort into is where your heart is to be found. And I see so many people compromise or are so stuck or infatuated in things. And you find them with either, you know, racing, music, holidays, sports. There's some things. I'm not saying they're wrong, but I'm saying some things become the be-all and end-all. I knew this couple who, she was a designer, in-house design and things like that, and he was an engineer. And they had a room in the house which they called the white room. I don't know if you've ever heard of a white room. It had white carpet, white lounge, white fittings. It was the white room. And it was perfect and beautiful and clean. And then they had children. And the kids were not allowed in the white room. What do you think children grow up with in their thinking then? The white room is more important than us? Until one of them walked in with peanut butter on their hands. Well, the other one is the car, Dad's car. You're not allowed to eat in Dad's car. You're not allowed to bring any food or any toys into Dad's car. Dad's car is, you've got to sit still in Dad's car because Dad's car is so important. Anybody even know that one? There's a few smiles around the room, right? What do children see as the greatest value then? What are we teaching? What are we teaching our children with the greatest values? I often say when I'm counseling couples and others, what you value the highest, your kids are going to value as well. We are the ones as adults, we are the ones to say, okay, what do we value? What do we want our kids to value the most? I showed you my dad's box. I still remember that. That was a deep value for my father to give the best to the church. I'm not saying my dad was perfect. I'm just saying these are some of the values that I've picked up. And it's really important. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? There is some stuff going on that is around us that we have to be careful what we see and what we're part of. I was a police chaplain for a number of years. As a chaplain with the police, there would be moments where the police would call me into significant events or things that had taken place. And I know that I had to protect my own eyes from seeing things. Because the thing is, when you see something, you can't unsee it. I'd have the opportunity to, at the local police station where the new probationary constables I'd call them probies, right? The new probationary constables would come and I had the opportunity to speak with them. Sometimes there'd be a group of 10 or 15. And one thing that I would speak to them as a police chaplain, I would say to them, don't look if you don't need to look. You're going to see enough. If it's your job, do your job. But don't have that inquisitive mind to see things that are horrible, especially car accidents and things like that. The amount of police, and Alan here can testify to this as well, the amount of police that actually leave the job after car accidents or other horrific events because they've seen it and they can't unsee it. But we live in a world today, and I'm going to be really honest with you now. The internet today, the things that you can see, the horrible things that are just put on the screen, you can't unsee them. And it creates a darkness in your own heart. Things like pornography, or you see murder, or you see violence, you see other things. All these things, you can't unsee them. Jesus is saying, protect your eyes, what you see, what you look. Because what your eyes see, your heart then gets challenged. And then Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either you hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. And then he brings an object lesson into that thinking. You can't serve both God and money at the same time. Two masters. When you're getting pushed from side to side, you're getting pulled into the middle. Which way do I go? What is going on? Either Jesus is Lord, or the world is Lord over you. And in the spiritual battle, Satan is vying for your soul. Therefore, as Jesus says, with this battle taking place, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you eat or drink or about your body, what you wear, is not life more than food and body more than clothes? And look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not much more valuable? Are you not much more valuable than they? I mean, how beautiful are the birds, right? They can flit around and they've got food around them. Jesus is saying you're way more valuable than the birds. And your needs are there. And Jesus says, I know your needs. But don't spend your whole life trying to get money and food and clothes and worries and fears and anxieties. Because can anyone of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Can anyone of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? This verse was transformative in my own faith journey. We had a guest speaker at a youth convention speaking about these words, and it challenged me. Can we add an hour, an extra hour to our life by worrying? I'm going to say the opposite is true. Stress is the killer. And worry and stress kicks in. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field. I'm not saying you should come to church naked, by the way. Just putting that in there, right? Okay. But worrying about so many different types of clothes, right? Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these, being the birds with all the colors. And so if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, don't you think you're much more clothed, you of little faith? So do not worry. saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Do not worry about all the pressures of life and the things that are going around us. Now, it's easy for me to say, do not worry, isn't it? When you worry. I worry about worrying. All right? Or I get anxieties. And Jesus challenges it. Look, for the pagans run after these things, and yet your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Hang on. So these things are on offer. Jesus says, don't worry about it, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. But now he's putting it into perspective and he's saying, now seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. All this will fall into place. Do you understand that? Seek first his kingdom, and then everything will fall into place. Trouble is, we do the other way around. We look after ourselves on everything and then we seek the kingdom at the end, thinking that would be good, maybe. But Jesus says, seek the kingdom first and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, I've had a few therefores. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is one of my favorite verses at times. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Jesus is saying for us to keep our hearts and our minds and our eyes firmly fixed on him and his kingdom. Protect your heart. I've just talked to you about Jesus, what Jesus is talking about, the different parts, the eyes, your thinking, your processing. And then he brings it in through Paul to the spiritual battle. Ephesians 6:10. Paul writes, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. To guard your heart now in the spiritual battle, we put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. A lot of our fears, our anxieties and pressures, the concerns and the worries, the things around us, if we do not put it in an understanding that there's a spiritual battle taking place at the same time, we're not really understanding how to protect ourselves and protect our hearts. There's one part that we see as the physical battle that's taking place, the emotional battle that's taking place, but we've got to look at the spiritual battle that's taking place. So how do we protect our hearts? We've got to put on the armor. Put on the full armor of God so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So how do we see it? Shoes of peace, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, as the armor of God. which is to protect our hearts. Notice all that armor, and when you're wearing it, it doesn't say go into battle, it says stand. Stand firm. Stand for whatever comes at you. Paul is saying to stand firm. Protect yourself from the enemy who comes to attack. We are to guard our hearts. And Jesus makes it so clear. Guard your heart because there is an enemy out to destroy you. And he will destroy you whichever way he can. Jesus showed us by going to the cross. Jesus showed us that our value is not here in this world. Our value is in a place with him. Our value of our heart to keep us in check, keep us in place, keep us strong in the battle is to keep our eyes firmly fixed on him and his kingdom. Amen. Firmly fixed on him and his kingdom, and all this will come together. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you ask us to guard our hearts. We can be so caught up in the wrong value system. And you're asking us to keep our eyes fixed on your value system. To protect our hearts with what we see. To protect our hearts with what we see as materialism or too much. Where we get stressed and overstressed. Where we're concerned about the things that are trivial and not concerned about the things that are eternal. Please help us shift our hearts and minds to what is eternal, and help us to protect ourselves from what is destroying us. Let us wear the armor so that we can stand when things come against us. I pray for everyone here this morning, Lord. Because we live in a world of challenges, especially with the internet, where we go, what we see, and what we value. Guide us, strengthen us. We ask, Lord, that if there's moments where we need forgiveness for the wrong things that we've done, and it'll reset our hearts to you, we pray right now, Lord, that you'll reset our hearts. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask for a renewal of strength. Transform our thinking so that we can be more closely aligned with what it means to be part of your kingdom and not stuck in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.